Clay eats Little Caesar's pizzas 14 a week at least. I've seen him do it. It's disgusting. It's disgusting.
Nom 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 nom.
Welcome to Talk About Scary, the show where we do just that. Talk about scary places.
Ooh, scary. We're not,
The only scary thing is how sweet my drink is.
What are you drinking there? What is that? What is that?
Nectarine blueberry. It's a bang.
A bang? You should really be staying away from those. I thought you were done with the energy drinks, my friend.
Yeah, well, four kids trying to stay awake, all that is difficult without caffeine.
Well, whatever you have to say to yourself to make you feel good about doing drugs. That's all that really matters.
Anyway.
Sorry about my creaky chair, by the way, just in advance. My chair is creaky. So we're not editing that sound out for you guys this time around.
In fact, I might enhance it, but like I was about to say, my name is Clay.
And I'm Adam, and thanks for watching, guys. Hey. Hey, Clay.
Hey.
Hey.
Yeah, we hope you guys are enjoying the videos. At this point in time, videos will be back out. This is like our third or fourth video episode, and we plan on making a ton more. We know you guys like it. In addition to just the... just the listening podcasts on Spotify and Apple and all those great platforms that you could listen to us on. Everyone seems to really like the YouTube the best. Hashtag YouTube.
Hashtag YouTube. And if, you know, if you're watching us on the YouTubes, you know, and you're looking at us and you're like, you know, if you wanted to, you could leave a review or a comment or even like or subscribe if you want. I mean, it's okay if you do that. We don't mind. If you want to do that, that...
At this point in time, though... if you're a new viewer, you're like, oh my gosh, all these guys are doing is talking about sweet drinks and drugs, and please leave a review and a subscribe, like, comment, whatever, blah, blah. So let's get this show on the road. Adam, what are we talking about today?
We were talking about something that's important to me, and soon, or it's actually something important to me,
Thin Mints.
And a plug for a documentary we just finished.
Thin Mints.
We just finished.
Is it Thin Mints?
Thin Mints?
It's not Thin Mints. I have a feeling it's not Thin Mints.
It's not Thin Mints. No. We did a documentary on sleep paralysis, and the documentary will be called Sleep Paralysis and the Phenomenon of the Shadow People. It's a mouthful.
Ooh.
That's what Clay said.
There might be a trailer edited in right here.
What is sleep paralysis? The Mayo Clinic defines sleep paralysis as a temporary inability to move or speak before falling asleep or upon waking. People who suffer from this condition are able to open their eyes, see, sense, touch, and hear with total cognition, but yet are completely immobile. It may seem like a rare condition, but in fact, over 3 million Americans report suffering from sleep paralysis every year, and over 7% of people worldwide. Out of the countless numbers of people who have been interviewed on the subject, regardless from which walk of life they come, they all have very similar stories about the contact they have experienced. And they all insist the contact is real. Millions of people have reported hearing otherworldly voices and sounds, seeing beings or energies from another realm, and many report actually being harmed by these entities. Sleep paralysis and the phenomenon of the shadow people.
Should I pause for the trailer?
I don't know if it went or not. No, because it will. We'll have already paused. Like the trailer will just be cut in there, or it might not have. And
I have hands. I don't have pause.
I spoke about a minute ago. Are like, those people are like, wow, what are these guys doing? They're lame.
Yes.
And you're wrong. We're not.
No, you're not wrong. We are lame, but. It's fine. So, anyway, I got a frog in my throat. Sorry, guys. So we're talking about sleep paralysis today. It's something that I have suffered from ever since I was 6 years old. I'll tell you a brief story about that in just a moment. But to give you an idea of what sleep paralysis is, to all our viewers out there, even though I know Clay knows what sleep paralysis is because he edited a portion of the documentary. So to make it kind of brief, sleep paralysis happens in about 3 million Americans per year if you're overseas or someplace else. I don't have the exact data. I know that it's a large swath of the global population. About 8%, I believe.
More than 12.
Yeah, more than 12. It's like 8.
More than 12 people.
More than 12 people. I think it's like 8% of people worldwide suffer from sleep paralysis. And what that is shortly upon falling asleep or upon waking, you'll open your eyes and your brain's functioning as if you're awake, but your body, because of the chemicals your mind releases to somewhat paralyze your body while you're sleeping, it remains paralyzed. So you can see and hear everything, but you can't move. You're trapped in your own body. And while you're trapped in your own body, many people have experienced something else in the room with them. And everybody from every walk of life has had the same exact type of experience where they see a shadow creature or several, or they describe them as people, but they're always something that's very shadowy. They really can't make them out except that they're a form of a being.
No facial features usually.
No facial features, maybe eyes, but you can almost see through. These beings that have been described, they can definitely hear them making noises or trying to say something to them. They can see them move, obviously. And at times, people have actually complained about being touched by these things sometimes in an aggressive manner. Insert any dirty joke you want right there, too, because that's where I would normally do it. But today I'm not doing the dirty joke today. So that's kind of in a nutshell what sleep paralysis is. A really, really basic nutshell. It's not like I'm being very technical about anything. So as far as that goes, anecdotal information, because I don't want to give away the documentary itself. So I'll just talk about my experience and some things that have happened in the past with other people. But not in the documentary. So when I was 6, I was adopted. My mother, God rest her soul, passed away when I was very young and never knew my father. So I was given to a nice family that gave me their last name, the Berardis. And they moved me into this beautiful farmhouse in East Candy, New Hampshire. I think it had a population of like 2. No, seriously though, I think it had a population of like 300 people. It's a very small town. And we lived on a one-lane road. When I mean one lane, I don't mean a lane on each side. I mean, it was one lane. And this is back in the 80s. So, you know, we still had carriages and we didn't have motor vehicles yet. And there was a nice like cemetery across the street and all the headstones were from like the 1700s. It was really, really a rustic place. And my bedroom was at the top of the stairs. They gave it to me, but it didn't have any doors on it, just archways. Cause it's an old house. And a lot of old houses back then didn't have doorways. They had doorways, but no doors. And it was a pretty scary room, but I don't know why I would be scared. I was kind of young. And I remember waking up for the very first time in this house. Maybe it was anxiety triggered, but I woke up and I couldn't move my body. I was a little kid. I couldn't scream, couldn't open my mouth to scream. I was trying to scream, couldn't open my mouth. And I look out the door and something pokes its very large head out from the other side of where the door would be. You know, it was a little alcove and it kind of peeked in and looked at me. And that moment I could see it.
Was it a pigeon?
It was not a pigeon, unfortunately. It was something else. And at the time I was just terrified. I could see its eyes, and most people say it couldn't see anything, but it felt to me like, I remember it smiling at me. I can still picture it. It was like a menacing smile. And it ducked its head back, and then it did it again. It ducked its head back, and I laid there. And eventually I started being able to move my fingers and my hands, and I pulled the covers over my head, and I hid there. And eventually, I got the courage to jump out of bed, and I ran downstairs to my new, soon-to-be adopted parents' room. And in there, I told them what happened, and they said, go back upstairs, it's a bad dream. And I go, I don't want to go back upstairs, that thing is up there. And they said, no, go back upstairs. So in the middle of the cold winter in New Hampshire, which is frigid, I curled up at the foot of their bed, at the floor, on the wooden floor, and I just laid there all night. I wouldn't leave. And till the sun came up, and then I snuck away. I didn't sleep for days after that. And that's also what began long bouts of insomnia for me after that, where I physically couldn't sleep anymore. Something physiologically had changed in me. And throughout my life, to make this real short, throughout my life, I've had this experience countless hundreds of times. And the very last time that it happened, I was laying next to my wife in her bed, which made me make the documentary. And I fell asleep and my eyes were a little bit open. And this thing, I could see it out of the corner of my eye, but I was facing my wife. I could see her. She was watching television. I just couldn't say anything. And I could almost see it out of the corner of my eye. And then I could hear it chattering in my ear, like chattering. And I tried to scream and I
grabbed. Like demon language?
No, it was like.
Like. Or like just noises.
Like noises, like it was moving its mouth and teeth, but I couldn't see it. And it was really close to my ears. Like my one ear, my left ear, because I was on my right hand side. Chattering. I just don't know how to describe it. So my little dog, Busy, if no one's ever seen him. Sometimes we have some behind the scenes stuff we do from other movies, and Busy's our set dog. He's a little tiny poodle. He's really adorable. And his little locks of fur were still in my fingers. Fact. He was still in my fingers because I was holding him in my hands as I fell asleep. So I got my fingers and I pulled on his hair a little bit, and that startled him, which made my wife look at me and saw my eyes were open, but I wasn't moving. And she shook me until I woke up. Thanks for that, by the way, Heidi. You're amazing. I told her what happened, and she held my hand, and I fell back asleep. And as soon as I fell back asleep, because people who suffer from sleep paralysis often fall asleep very quickly and fall into REM sleep within the first 5 minutes, which is very not normal, just so you know. Having said that, I fell back asleep, and same side, she's holding my hand, and it crawled up on my shoulder and started pushing on my shoulder. First time I've actually ever felt it touch me, like something touch me. And it was really aggressive, and it was right in my ear. And at that time, she was still looking at me, so she noticed it was happening again, and my eyes were like halfway open. So she shook me up, and I didn't sleep for about a day. But that day and the next day, I didn't even want to go to sleep. And then she talked to me and said, let's make a documentary about it. There must be a million people that have gone through this. Was she not lying? So we made a documentary, and here we are. So I wanted to talk to you about that. There's some interesting facts about it, too, I wanted to share. If you have anything to say about it.
Yeah, go ahead. I'll just sit here.
No, you don't.
It's what I'm good for.
Say something.
Something.
Here's an interesting tidbit. Back in 1978 in Laos, there was a huge civil war going on. Many Laotians were displaced. 35,000 came to America as refugees. While they were here, they set up camp all over the U.S., you know, not camp, but, you know, they moved here. And I believe it was 1981 was the first documented case. This Laotian, very young man, told his parents he couldn't sleep. He said that there was a man in his dreams or a creature trying to kill him. And they were really concerned he wouldn't sleep, so they took him to the doctor. They got him sleeping pills. They thought he was taking his sleeping pills, and everything was normal because he was asleep one night. And then they heard some noise from the room, and when they ran in, he was dead. Upon checking his room and doing the search and everything after he passed away, he had stowed all of his sleeping pills. He never took any of them. He just fell asleep from exhaustion. And in his closet, he hid a coffee maker. This was in 1981. This was in the LA Times, I believe. They did a report on it. And there was a man, a filmmaker, by the name of Wes Craven, who must have read that, because he said that story was what inspired him to make The Nightmare on Elm Street series with Freddy Krueger. Interesting stuff. Now, that's not the only one-off case. And between 1981 and 1984, 100 Laotian refugees died from what they said was, it's called SUNS, it's Sudden Unexplained Nocturnal Death Syndrome. 99 men.
That sounds intense.
Yeah, it's not camping, it's intense. This is usually funny, this is funny stuff. I mean, we can add some levity to this. One woman.
Sleep paralysis tent.
Yay! 99 men, one woman died of it. They No explanation to this day. CDC got involved, no explanation. And since 1984, people that have suffered from sleep paralysis and experienced these same type of demons have been on the rise in the U.S. Now, like I said, 3 million people a year state that they experience it. And the ones that have been studied, doctors can tell. They're like, yes, your REM cycle is totally erratic. You fall asleep very quickly. And they can tell that that pattern always presents itself when someone says they have sleep paralysis. They don't know why, though. There's no cure for it. There's no treatment. And I, for those who have watched this podcast and listened to it religiously, know that I don't believe in any... I believe in a little bit of stuff, but I've seen things now, so I believe in a little bit of stuff. Our first podcast, I totally didn't believe in anything at all. You know, those people will remember that I seldom believe in things at face value. I've suffered from this my whole life, and until I was touched a few months ago by this thing, I never really considered anything more than a figment of my imagination. Just I was plagued with it. I thought something was wrong with me. So many people have discussed it, and the people that we've interviewed, for even the ones that didn't get on the documentary, have the same exact problems, and they've all experienced the same things almost to a T. And you would have seen that, right, Clay? I mean, you saw a lot of the documentary. He skims through my stuff. Yeah. He doesn't watch all of it. He pretends like he does, but he doesn't. It's okay.
It's meh.
It's not his caliber of filmmaking. So,
well, I think sleep paralysis as a whole is kind of an interesting topic because I'm someone who hasn't experienced this. So I look at it not experiencing the like ghosts or shadow people, whatever you want to call them, the scary factor. And all I can see is the science behind it. And it's interesting because like Adam said, they don't know what causes this, but they seem to have identified triggers. And I do this because, I mean, it's kind of the same thing as like eczema or just other like skin-like diseases where, yeah, sure, I guess what you eat could have an impact, but just because you drink alcohol or caffeine doesn't mean that you're always going to break out. Same thing with sleep paralysis. Just because you do some of these things you shouldn't doesn't mean it's going to happen. Like I'm looking at ways you can possibly prevent it, and it says keeping that's why no one can solve the mystery. No, keeping a set pre-bed routine that helps you get comfortable and relaxed, outfitting your bed with a good mattress and the best pillow for your needs, reducing consumption of alcohol and caffeine, especially in the evening, putting away electronic devices, including cell phones, at least a half hour before bed. But just because you do that stuff doesn't mean you're necessarily going to lessen the chances that you're going to have an episode. And on days when you do all that stuff, you might go to bed and get a good night's sleep. It's just one of those things you don't know.
I've done all those things. Nothing works. It just doesn't work. Most people complain the same thing. They're like, I did all that. Didn't work. Thanks, Doc.
It says certain health conditions have shown a connection with the condition and the sleep paralysis, like anxiety disorders, post-traumatic stress. This is kind of interesting because I do this a lot, and I, again, have never, that I know of, had a sleep paralysis episode. Is it says that some studies have found that people who have overactive imaginations or daydream are more likely to experience sleep paralysis.
And he daydreams all the time. That's all he does is daydream.
I do. I'm basically daydreaming my way through this show. I just sit here and look at the camera, but I ain't really here.
No, he's not really.
But anyway, I spend a lot of time daydreaming, thinking about, that would make a good movie, or trying to visualize what a movie I'm currently working on is going to look like when it's done. I obviously have a very active imagination being a writer, but I don't again, I've never experienced any of this. So from a scientific standpoint, it's almost like, I don't want to say cancer because scientists kind of know what causes cancer, but I know people that have passed away from cancer that literally didn't have an ounce of like bad habit in their body. Like they never smoked, never drank, had no family history of it. They just, their cells mutated and they got cancer. It happens. But then you've got Joe Blow, who drinks a six pack every
Joe
night,
Blow.
Smokes a pack of cigarettes. Joe Blow, that's his name. Smokes his pack of cigarettes, just lived a really unhealthy life. He eats 14 pizzas from Little Caesars, you know, every week.
Clay eats Little Caesars pizzas 14 a week at least. I've seen him do it. It's disgusting. It's disgusting.
Nom 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 nom.
Anyway, you get my point.
Yes. I get your point.
There are just some things that it truly doesn't matter what your body intakes or does. It's not going to impact what happens to you. And I think sleep paralysis just falls into that. Sure, there might be some people that they've studied that maybe they drank a bunch of caffeine and then they had an episode, and then on nights that they didn't drink caffeine, they didn't have an episode. I'm not saying that that doesn't happen, but I'm saying that the overall majority, you can't say just because that happened to someone, it's going to happen to everybody. That's why they say, you know, these are just guesses, estimates, yep. What we may think.
Yeah, the first report recorded by a physician episode was, and I think it was 1642 in Europe. So it's happened before, but for some reason it's happening more frequently. Or maybe more people are just coming out because now there's so much more mass media that people are like, oh, I have that too. I thought I was alone. I didn't want to tell anybody. Who knows, really? Underreporting could have been a huge concern because people just didn't want to share the information because they thought they were crazy. But it is a terrifying situation to be in. I don't want to make this a 30-minute episode talking about how terrifying it is, but I would love, really love, that if anybody has experienced this before, has a loved one that's experienced this, leave a message in the comments, you know, like the episode and tell us about it. Leave a review and give us your story. You know, one of the things that I would love to do in the near future is if you send us a story, I'd love to read it, you know, so on air. And so, you know, people could hear it on the podcast. But yeah, please share your stories with us. When I reached out to do the documentary, I said, I want to know if anybody's had these experiences, and I got so much feedback from people that, like, I've had it my whole life. Yeah.
Yeah. It was pretty crazy to see how many people have experienced nearly the same thing. And I think, I know we're running low on time, and I just wanted to touch on, I think it's, Adam says it's terrifying, and I'm sure that it is. I don't deny that. But I think it's almost interesting that all this, you know, science, whatever happens when you sleep that causes this, makes people see these like hallucinations, whether it be demons, shadow people. I mean, it's just you can't study this sort of thing because how do we know that it's not just happening in people's heads? You know, it's like Adam's story. You even said that Heidi was right in the bed with you when all this was happening, and she didn't see anything.
Nope.
She didn't hear the chatter. So I'm not saying that the person's actually like dreaming or in some kind of like weird limbo, but it's just, it's so, it could be anything. It's so unobtainable. I don't know if we'll ever figure out what's really happening, but it is interesting to me.
But 3 million people a year agree
everybody,
it's real.
Yeah, that. No. And I'm not saying that it's not
real.
Oh,
no.
I just, it's weird that whether it's happening in your head and just that's the way everything happens, or whether it's really happening and for some reason you're in this weird limbo that you can like see it and a fully awake person can't, it's the same. I think that's the most fascinating thing, is everybody sees, experiences very similar things. Like someone A lot of people report that it feels like someone is like sitting on their chest. Like they can actually feel the thing touching them.
Yeah.
Inappropriately.
Inappropriately. Yeah. You know, I wish it was inappropriately. I wish it was a Ghostbusters thing, you know? Like I was Dan Aykroyd laying in, that'd be fantastic. But it's not. It's something horrible.
Would it though? I feel like honestly, if that were to really happen, I'd be a little bit weirded out.
You don't want to get diddled by a ghost? Come on. What if everybody else is getting diddled by a ghost in your house, but you weren't? Would you feel like you were the unattractive one?
I guess.
So I don't know what it is though.
These are not things I think about.
You said you were a daydreamer. That's what I daydream about all day long. Dirty stuff.
But kids live in this house.
Oh, that's right. Nobody is diddled in Clay's house. This is not a diddling house. It's my house. I have a dog and a wife. We diddle us all day long. Sometimes we do it by ourselves. It's just the way it is. I mean, right now Busy's right over there and he's diddling himself. He's licking himself. I see it right now. So, but that's all I have today.
So if you like all the stuff that we've been talking about, make sure you hit that subscribe button.
Wait, it's right here. Boop. Wait. Is that the right side? Yeah, it's the right side. Boop. Hit that subscribe button. Smash that subscribe. What up, guys?